Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My last year coaching soccer, we had a season for the ages, a season for the record books. We were undefeated and steamrolled through every opponent in every game except, you guessed it, the last one, the championship game. We ended the half down 2 goals, the only time we were down all season. And as the team huddled together, I remember what I told them. I said, don't listen to the parents and what they're saying. I know they're trying to help, but they're wrong. I know it's exciting, but listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Why did I say that? The kids had so much excitement going on and were hearing so many competing voices. They heard the cheers, the jeers, the praises, the parents and the teammates. They had a hard time listening to my voice. In that symphony of voices and chaos, they needed to be reminded to listen to me. And the disciples really find themselves in a similar situation. Really put yourself in their sandals for just a moment. You're with Jesus on a high mountain. Moses and Elijah appear. His appearance changes and he begins to shine. And these three heroes of faith begin to talk with one another. It's really all too much excitement to handle. And then in the midst of it all, a cloud appears and overshadows them. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The disciples needed a similar reminder. Listen to him. And we do too, don't we? Soon, the season of Lent will begin, a time of repentance and self-examination. And soon, once the service is over, we'll go back out into a world full of excitement and chaos and competing voices. God's words here are words that we all need to remember and hear. It's not just for the disciples. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Let's dive into our text. 6 days after Jesus tells his disciples about his upcoming death and resurrection, he calls three disciples to himself. He calls Peter, James, and John, and he takes them up a high mountain. And in the Bible, important events commonly took place on mountains. God revealed himself to Moses and Elijah on Mount Sinai. Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, which later became the Temple Mount. Isn't that interesting? And in Matthew, mountains are important too. Jesus is tempted on a mountain. He prays on a mountain. He feeds the 5,000 on a mountain. And one of his most famous sermons is called what? The Sermon on the Mount. He's crucified on Mount Calvary and gives the Great Commission on one in Galilee. Simply put, important things happen on mountains, and this will really be no different as well. And so as Jesus takes these three disciples up the mountain, he's transfigured before them. I told you something important would happen. And so his face begins to shine like the sun. And it's an uncomfortable brightness. It's something you really can't look at for long. His clothes become white as light. And Matthew has a hard time describing this. The other evangelists do too. Luke says they became dazzling white. Mark says they are radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. Words fail to describe how bright and white his clothes are. So what's going on? Jesus is revealing his glory. The disciples see him as he truly is. The glory breaks through. He's displaying his divine glory. Really, how amazing and wonderful and exciting. And these things continue. As Jesus is transfigured, all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appear talking with him. These are Old Testament heroes, Hall of Famers, legends, generational talents. You have the great lawgiver and prophet par excellence. You have the representatives of the Old Testament scriptures, the representatives of the law and prophets. And they're talking with Jesus. Wouldn't that be fascinating to hear? Wouldn't you want to be there for that? Aren't you curious about what they might say or what they might possibly talk about? That would be too much for me and probably for you as well. And it was too much for Peter and the other disciples as well. And so Peter decides to give a proposal. He tells Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter wants this event to continue. He doesn't want it to end. We really can't blame him. He essentially says, "Lord, don't let this stop. Let's keep it going." But in doing so, he does some unintended things with his proposal. He gives Jesus the same honor shown for Moses and Elijah, implying that Jesus is equal with them. He lumps them all together. Moses and Elijah are important, no doubt, and God had done great things through them too. No doubt about that either. But they're just not on the same level as Jesus. And God makes that clear. And by doing so, he cuts Peter off mid-sentence. Can you imagine being cut off by God? And as he is, a bright cloud overshadows them. And in the Bible, a cloud is often a symbol of God's presence. And as that cloud overshadows them, it speaks. And what does God say? "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God echoes that same proclamation from our Lord's baptism, which started our Epiphany season many weeks ago. God says this. He singles Jesus out and turns the attention to him. He takes their eyes off of Moses, off of Elijah, and everything else, and points them to Jesus. But why? He's God's beloved Son with whom he is well pleased. God says this is the one who fulfills Israel's hope and dreams. This is the one who fulfills what Moses and Elijah pointed to. This is the one who brings the reign of God. This is the one who is holy, just, and right. This is the one who is the Savior. God says, listen to him. In Greek, the word for listen is a present command. The grammar conveys the idea this is to be an ongoing and habitual thing, something that we should continually do. It's not just a one-time thing, but something that should characterize and color our lives. Listening to Jesus, listen to him is a word for people of all times, in all places. It's not just for the disciples, but for you and for me. What do we listen to in our lives? Our lives are kind of a lot like that soccer game I described earlier. We hear so many voices as we live and work and play in this world. What voices do you listen to? What voices do you hear? What voices drown out Jesus? We hear the voices of worry, don't we? How will we make ends meet? Will our jobs still be around? Will our loved one get better? Will our kids stay out of trouble? We hear the voices of the world, don't we? The world says, everyone's doing it. Come on, join in. It says it's 2020. Get with the times. The Bible is outdated on some things. It says you need this to be happy. You can't live without it. And we hear the voices of the old wily foe in our sinful flesh, don't we? The devil lies and says, you can't be forgiven. You've done that too many times. He hisses, your situation won't change and get better. God's left you. It's obvious. He persuades, do that sin one more time for old time's sake. Besides, you enjoy doing it. He misleads and says, did God really say? Where does it say that in the Bible? You really hear so many voices, don't we? Let's go back to our text. What do the disciples do? The disciples hear the voice of the Father and the cloud of God's presence overshadows them. And what's their response to that? It's fear. It's terror. They're sinners in the presence of God. No wonder they're scared. And so they fall on their knees and bury their faces into the ground. And what does Jesus do? He comforts them. He gives a word of grace, a word of pardon and peace. He says, rise and have no fear. And as they do, they see Jesus only. They hear the word of Jesus, and we do too. Like the disciples, we come before God as sinful and unclean. We really can't stand before him, but Jesus says, rise and have no fear. Why do we hear this? Why do we have such a confidence? It's because of the words spoken on another mountain, Mount Calvary. On that mount, there are no bright clothes, but a naked and bloody body. There is no shining face, but one caked with dirt and spit and topped with a crown of thorns. There are no Moses and Elijah, but two criminals. On the cross, Jesus cries out, it is finished. And 3 days later, as he's raised, he's shown to be the one with whom God is well pleased. The mission was accomplished, and we are saved. Rise and have no fear. But these aren't the only words our Savior speaks to us. He says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, take heart, I've overcome the world. He says, I've prepared a place for you, and I'm coming again for you. He says, I hold the keys of death and Hades. I am the living one. Really, no wonder God wants us to hear this voice as we soon go back out into the world and as we soon begin the season of Lent. Don't forget, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.